Bruchem Aboyim to the fourth in the continuing series of Shiurim on the commentary of the Netziv HaOmek Dovah on the Chumash. And we're going to go back to the text of the Chumash. I mean, we're always in the text of the Chumash, but this time we're going to go back to Bereishis. I believe that we mentioned Bereishis Ba'alokim in the first year, at least as part of the introduction of the Kidmas HaEmek. And now we're going to actually go to Bereishis, and we're going to discuss a little bit the Netziv's approach to understanding the Chumash in terms of the themes that were developed, that Baruch Hashem were able to develop regarding using Chazal as the type of Zitzenleben, the context within which we have to understand the Teres Shebechsav. Now, all of you know that that the first two Pukim in Bereishis deal with the Briyas HaOlam, the creation of the world. The first Perek, Bereishis Ba'alokim, deals with the Sheshish Mei Bereishis, and ends with the and at the very beginning of the second parak, and ends with the sixth day. The second parak, Vayichul Hashemayim V'aretz V'kol Tzvaam, speaks about the Shabbos, which we'll get to speak about. And beginning in Parak Beis, Pasuk Dalet, we read in the Torah, Eile Soldeis Hashemayim V'aretz Biborom. So now the Torah now recants the narration of the creation of the world, and we have it being presented from a slightly different perspective. It's worth it to note, of course, this is something that not only everyone has noticed, that in fact actually in the first accounted in the first parak, the name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokim, and the second parak uses Havai Elokim, Hashem Elokim, which we'll speak about the Mitzvah Hashem a little bit later. But in any case, the Torah presents to us two understandings, two dimensions of creation, and in the beginning, at the onset of the second account of creation, so we read in Pasuk Hei, right? Right? And the translation is no shrub of the field being yet on the earth, and no plant of the field yet sprouted, for Hashem Elokim had not caused rain to fall on the earth, and there was no human to till the soil. That's the that's how we'll translate the first pasuk. And then after that, ve'ej yalem in ha'oretz, ve'hishka es kol panei ha'adama. So the way I'm going to translate it is that a cloud, a vapor, a cloud, would rise from the earth, because the Lashon of Yale is actually Lashon Osir, so I would say the Eid Yale Min HaOretz, the vapor, the cloud would rise from the earth, V'ishkaz Pnei HaAdama, and would wetten the surface of the ground. And then after this, in Pasuk Zayin, V'yitza Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam Ofa Min HaAdama, Hashem Elokim fashions man, Ha'adam, Afa min Adama, right? Dust from the earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he breathed into his nostrils a living breath. Vayi Adam l'nefesh chaya, and Adam became a living creature. That will suffice as the translation for this. There's other translations which, in my opinion, do not accurately reflect this. I just might want to just notice that Professor Alter translates, and wet this with well from the earth. I guess he didn't believe that Eid actually means a cloud. And Yala min ha'aretz seems to mean that it's actually coming up over the earth, which is clearly the way, not in Chazal, but clearly the way all the Mefarshim understand it. V'hishkas kol p'nei adama, and wetens the surface of the earth. His translation, and wetness would well from the earth, is, in my opinion, not in accordance with the which he sets out in his introduction. He seems to be saying that there's water coming from the inside the earth. Mm-hmm. So this is a very non-literal translation. Very disappointing. In any case, and what I, the interesting, everybody knows, right? What does it mean to say, right? V'adam ein lavoid es ha'adama, and there was no human to toil the earth. In other words, to till the soil. So we have a famous Rashi who brings a Chazal, and Rashi says, what does it mean to say va'adam ein lavoid es ha'adama? And the question raises is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu certainly can make things grow without the help of man, as we see in the third day of creation, right? Rashi points this out. So therefore, why is the Torah telling us for Adam ein lavodes adama? So Rashi says, right, the fisha Adam ein lavodes adama, right? There it wasn't a person to till the soil. The ein makib b'tayvasin shel kishamim, there was no one to appreciate the goodness of rain. And when man came about, when man was created and saw the need for rain, his palolein v'yaldu. So what happened is that man prayed, Adam prayed v'yaldu, and the rain began to fall. And as a result of man's prayer, so therefore it began to rain, and then the trees and all the vegetation began to sprout, which means that on the third day, the vegetation was near the surface of the ground, but had not actually emerged. That's what Rashi learns. And then, when Adam Rishon came along, then, in fact, he prayed, he offered up a tefillah, and as a result of this, Adam Rishon's tefillah, so therefore, it began to rain, and then everything began to sprout. Now, that's Rashi's understanding, and I'm sure every person, you know, has learned the Rashi, and whenever we think of this pasuk, whenever we read this pasuk, as we did a few weeks ago, that's what comes to our mind. The question is, how are we to understand the Chazal, right? This Chazal, in relationship to the what's called Pshuta Shel Mikra, which means that the Torah ostensibly is not speaking about Tefillah. The Torah is speaking about Avodah, right? About working in the land. So, I guess anyone who looks at this Rashi will offer either one of two explanations, right? The literalist, the oral literalist, will say that no, that's what it means literally. It literally means that Adam Rishon wasn't there to pray, to daven. And then when Adam Rishon was created, he literally prayed, and therefore the rain came down, and that's what allowed the vegetation to sprout. That's what he would learn. So in other words, the fact that it says Adam Ayla, but it's Adama, what it really means is that there wasn't Adam Rishon to offer tefillah. That would be the literalist. And the non-literalist would understand the Medrash. Probably means is that there's a smachta of Chazal. In other words, even though the Torah is speaking about man tilling the soil, the Torah is not speaking about tefillah. Nonetheless, Chazal, on the basis of this, understood as part of the Torah Shmiel Peh, there's a type of an smachta that one, in fact, actually can infer from this, is that you know, it's one of the things that man does, in addition to physical agricultural work, is also offering prayer, offering tefillah to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that helps the rain come down. Okay, so these are the two perspectives. The two perspectives could be understood either the literal orality, which means I'm taking the oral law literally, or I'm taking the oral law non-literally. Okay? Now, comes in its sieve with a very, very interesting Peirush, very interesting understanding. The Netziv understands, and he says this not only here, but he says it in different places. He also speaks about this in his Perush on the She'iltas Amr Sha'ala, that in fact, actually, that why is tefillah called avoida? What we see in Chazal, that tefillah is called avoida, right? So says the Netziv, and I'm reading from Amr Dava, right, in Pasuk Kei Perek Beis, Va'inyan de Mirosh Abriya, from the very beginning of creation, Kova Kodesh Baruch Shia Esek Parnasa, Kodesh Baruch established that that Parnasa, Esek Parnasa, right, the activity of sustenance, Shabab Alichas Oilam, that comes about through natural means, Umu'ura Vashkoch El Yoyna, but also is connected to a divine providence, Magia Aide Mavgia Shal Avoida, comes through what's called Avoida. Right? Avoida is work, service. Hainu Oy Kabonis B'mokam Oy Lakach, either comes through Kabonis, through sacrifices, or Tefillah B'chol Mokam, or Tefillah, wherever there is, where Tefillah is used, is mentioned. U'mshimahachi Niku Eilu Stam Avoida. And that's why Tefillah and Kabonis are called Avoida more than other mitzvahs. Right? Even though other mitzvahs are called Avodas Hashem, right? Nonetheless, the tzim invokes the pasuk in Mishlei, "Oyvin ad Moshe yisbalech and peros." The sham malach is Adam oisa evshi oisa b'shul panos v'evshi b'shul tzerach achem. Hashem can oyvin ad Moshe eno elus bayalechem. The purpose of working the ground is for nourishment, right? For bread. The kachu evdo ben al mitzvah shvatel la avodas kabbalas and tefillah. This illustrates, in other words, this illustrates that what other actions a person does, you know, can come. You know, come for nourishment, for food, or can come for other things, right? People engage themselves in all different types of things, activities. But, Oyved Adama is only for nourishment, only for food, only for sustenance. Says that this illustrates, or this expresses, the difference between Tefillah and Kabbonis, which are called Avoda proper, and between other mitzvahs. The Sham mitzvahs of Avodas Hashem, Schorim, Shama Le'ilam Abba. Other mitzvahs, the schar, or the ikas schar, reward, is in the next world. If a person can, you know, get benefit in this world, that's called, right, through wealth, through honor, etc. Or a mida connected mida. Right? Kabbonis and tefillah, the main reward is panasa, sustenance. Right? And then he brings a right, in the Sach Shabbos, tefillah is called Chayishah. In other words, tefillah is in fact a labor which is no different than agricultural work, because the purpose of tefillah is to generate sustenance. That's what the, and really only sustenance, that's what the Netziv says. Okay? Now, it's interesting is, so what is the Tziv doing? Well, the Tziv is saying a very interesting pshat. Tziv is saying is that the tilling of the soil, right, is in fact no different than the act of tefillah. In other words, I'm going to learn the Tziv from the other side of the coin, right? Reading the Amud Dava without a shkafa circle back, I'm going to say that tefillah is a type of agricultural work. What I want to say is what the Netziv means to say, and if it doesn't mean to say this, I'm going to say this, as a result of what the Netziv says, is that agricultural work is a type of tefillah. That when man works and tills the soil, that's a type of tefillah. It's no, right? It's a type of tefillah. And by working the soil, man is actually engaged in an activity, no different than tefillah, in bringing about his sustenance, which is, of course, generated by rainfall, which afterwards brings about the sprouting of vegetation. That's how the Netziv is actually learning the pasuk. So the chiddush of the Netziv is that there's an identity between agricultural work and between the act of tefillah. That's the Netziv's chiddush. So therefore the Netziv actually, in fact, arrives at a third, which in my opinion is a much more beautiful fit between the Teresh Mialpeh and Teresh Bechsav, then in fact we are to look, and this is the Zitzin Leben, the Chumash, we are to look at agricultural work as a type of tefillah, which generates parnasa. Now, what's interesting is,
Westerners keep saying agricultural work.
Well,
that's the example here.
That's the example here. It says lavodas ha'adama.
But the Nazir says parnasa.
No, he says but for lechem.
So
that's for bread. For bread.
Is being an accountant equivalent?
No. I think it's agricultural work. Agricultural work, right? Because you're an accountant, you might want to buy a car. See, it's not speaking about a car. It's speaking about, right. In other words, when a person works the field, then therefore he gets things to eat. Bread. He says, he brings the pasuk in Mishlei, right? Oyved admasa yisbalechem. Okay? Now, goes on, the Nesiv, though, is with actually a further chiddush, which I want to speak about, right? And what is this further chiddush? The further chiddush is that the Nesiv brings a very, very gemara, in Chul, in Samach and Beis. Once again, I think I'm in Ha'amek Dover. This might be the Ha'chav Dover. I think it's Ha'amek Dover. With the Dibah Maskel, the Chol Esav Asod Terem Yitzmach. So therefore, the Netziv, so he says,
Rashi. In the same Pasuk?
Yeah. The Chol Esav Asod, right? Rashi Hevi Sugis to Chulin, Rav Asi Rami. Kasiv, it says, Vatetze Oretz Tesha. Right. This is actually brought by Rashi. Betlash b'shva. In other words, this was brought. Because Bohu commanded the vegetation to come out of the ground on the third day of creation. That was on Erev Shabbos because other Mevrishim was created on Erev Shabbos. So we have a sira. How could on the third day Kodesh Bohu have said v'toytzi aretz desha? When in fact, actually, we see on the Erev Shabbos, on the sixth day of creation, there wasn't yet Siach HaSada. There wasn't any, right? There wasn't any vegetation. This is the Medrash that Rashi based himself on. That's a Medrash. It's in the Gemara. The Lamdecha comes to teach us. Kodesh Baruch Hu desires, craves the tefillah of tzaddikim. And then the Gemara goes on. Nachum bar Papa, Habilei Ahu Ginsa. Nachum bar Papa had a garden, right? Shadi beBezroni v'lo tzomach. He sowed, he planted seeds, and nothing came out. Boy Rachum yasim mitlo v'tzomach. And came rainfall, and they sprouted out. Amar Haynu deRabasi. This is actually Rabasi's statement. Now, in fact, actually the Netziv goes on with a very interesting, beautiful pshat to the Gemara. What's the chiddush of Rav Nachum bar Papa? So, and how does this tell us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is b'savat fil shel tzaddikim? All it says is a person prays, right? A person davens, right? The rain comes. Who's the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the rain to come? So the Tzibah's beautiful pshat, he says that Rav Nachum bar Papa planted the vegetation, or planted the seeds. All his friends were planting, and they were all growing vegetables, tomatoes. Cucumbers were coming out. Rav Nachum bar Papa's fields were still barren. There was no vegetation. Rav Nachum bar Papa was a big tzaddik. And then he realized, this is a tzaddik, b'stoma, Kodesh Baruch Hu b'savat to his tefillah, craves his tefillah, his prayer. So when he began davening, that was it. The vegetation came out. And what Tzibah wants to say is the punchline that Kodesh Baruch Hu b'savat the tefillah of Shem Tzaddikim comes from this maysa of Rav Nachum bar Papa. That's what it says, Hainu d'Ravasi. In other words, not that a person davens, because Rav Nachum bar Papa is davening. That's the way that Tziv learns. Beautiful piyasa about it. But Rabat, well, it says, b'savet Rav Nachum bar Tzadikim. Right. Now, it's very, very interesting, is that how does this idea catch itself in the Psukim? It's very interesting. If you look at Chazal, right? I mean, if you look at, in other words, if a person understands, it would summarize the Rashi. So, the Rashi's come to tell us is that Adam comes, davens, he prays for rain, right? The rain comes and waters the field. But the Chumash is somehow leaving us in suspense. That's what Chumash says. V'chosia chasod eterm yeva oretz. I mean, what did the Chumash just tell me, right? Adam Mishim was created, and he davened, and the rain came down. But the Chumash leaves us in a certain type of suspense. Right? There wasn't any vegetation. Nothing had sprouted from the ground. There was not yet a human being to till the land. Being that, in fact, actually, the Chumash is, in fact, putting us in suspense. And what adds to the suspense is when it says the ajala min ha'aretz, right? So what is, I mean, one could ask the question, right? If this is true, so what in fact actually happens in the next pasuk? A cloud comes up and produces rain. So I would imagine that this is what brought Professor Alter to translate the pasuk, or where this would well from the earth, because you know, we have a theater. I mean, so what, in other words, you know, if the cloud comes up and makes it rain. So the fact is that it's very, very simple, is that how do we explain the creation of man? Vayitza Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofam min ha'aretz. Of course, Bo is going to fashion man from the dirt. The dirt has to be watered. It has to be wet, right? When you make a pot, right? Right? Then the earth, the clay, when you make bread, right? You have nida, you have to put water in it. This is even the ground, right? Making a pot from the earth with the ground. So, in other words, the pasuk is coming to explain to me, how is it that the earth became wet? So it says, "Ve'ej alam la'ochot vishka," is called pnei ha'adama, the face of the earth. In other words, the water didn't penetrate into the earth and brought things to sprout. It was only on the face of the earth enough to wet in the soil that Kodesh Baruch Hu kiviyachol could fashion from the ground right into Adam Harishon. So, in other words, I want to claim that pasuk vav is also coming to, I mean, to in a hermeneutical way to validate the suspense built up from the other pesukim. In fact, if there wasn't rainfall, so how could it possibly be that there was any moisture for Kodesh Baruch Hu to be yatsa Adam? So the answer is this aid would come up from the ground. Meaning, what do you mean it came up from the ground? These clouds don't come from the ground. The answer is that this was a special, you know, there's a special natural or nace, a miracle, right? That produced this cloud that came from the ground. It's not a normal cloud. It's a very special cloud. In fact, actually, the Gemara and Sukkah learns from this, from what we make schach from. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that actually the cloud coming from the ground is a type of a sprouting, some of a metaphysical, a spiritual sprouting from the ground, right? And this moistens the ground enough that Kodesh Baruch Hu can create man. So in other words, what the Netziv is coming to tell us is that in fact, actually, right, what I'm adding to the Netziv is that not only are we to understand that there is a, that agricultural work is a type of prayer, right, which I think what he's coming to say is, but in fact, actually, the suspense that we find within the actual pesukim, the actual verses, right, lead us to this revelation that in fact, the natural world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for man to be created, is being misavled filasim shel tzadikim. And in a certain sense, what's the age element of Oretz? Age element is also a type of a taiva. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a taiva, a desire, a craving, that actually there should be rainfall. So in other words, this concept of age element of Oretz, that the cloud coming up from the ground and water in the ground, I think in a certain sense is intensifying this literary suspense which is being expressed by the psukim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in fact even craving that there should be a man, an Adam, who should daven to him, because it's like his mouth is watering, like the cloud is watering. Craving means my mouth is watering. I'm desiring this. Kodesh Baruch Hu is absolutely craving the tefillah of tzaddikim. And that's yeid yalem min ha'aretz, as if the world itself is craving that man, in fact, actually should come and perform this agricultural work, which Chazal understood really, in a certain sense, to be a type of an act of tefillah. So this is, in my opinion, how the Netziv is using the ideas of Chazal as the zitzit labor to understand the context of the psukim, by which the psukim are actually expression that God awaits man's activity to generate a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed, his hashgacha, right, upon man and upon the world around him. So I think this is really the very, very unique commentary in Perush of the Ksiv. It's only Rabbeinu HaNetziv makes this important connection between tefillah and avodah, that avodah of tefillah is unique. Kabbadis and Tefillah is unique from all of the mitzvahs is this important connection that the Tziv makes on the basis of Chazal, that we're able to understand in fact, the Zitten Leipen and the true understanding of the Pshuta Shem Mikra, right, in accordance with the ideas of Chazal.
Does the Tziv mean a person works ground even without praying?
That's how I understand the Tziv.
The fact of working the ground.
That's how I understand what the Tziv.
Some guy in a kibbutz without a kippah says, "Work the ground."
That's what I understand the Tziv. That's how I understand the Tziv. That's my understanding of the Tziv. Well, that's called Seif Machshava Shal HaTziv. Okay, fine. Okay, I want to go further a little bit in the Chumash. But I think that perhaps maybe this might be a good place to stop, because I want to actually discuss the Neskiv's interpretation of the Yipak Ba'ap of Mishmas HaChayim. Mm-hmm. I think Mitzvah, maybe we'll say
25 minutes.
We say that for next time. Okay, then maybe we'll go a bit further. Maybe we'll go a little bit further. Okay, fine. Very good. I was unaware of time. I don't want to take too much of your time at once. But I think that let's go on and read the Psukim. So, after it says, right, it says, Ve'egya lemen ha'oretz, Ve'yitza Hashem Elokim, creates Adam, creates man, ofa min Adama. He creates him ofa min Adama. He creates him from the ground of the earth. Ve'yipach ba'af of nishpas chayim. And he breathes into his nostrils a living soul. I think Nishmas Chayim means a living soul, not a breath of life, but a living soul. You could say maybe Nishmas Chayim, a living breath. We'll call it a living breath. Man becomes a living creature. Now, as is Yadua, and it's actually based itself on the Ramban, is that there are two understandings of what does it mean to say Vayi Adam Nefesh Chayim. So, the Nesiv says, right, that there is he says the Ramban also acknowledges that there seems to be two ways of understanding the Pasuk, the understanding of Chazal, right, that Chazal understood by Yadul Nefesh Chaya means, right, that man was given an intellect, or actually as Unkel is in Metagim, Ruach Malala, which means man was giving speech. In other words, Vayi'adam Nefesh Chaya, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashions man from the earth and breathes into him Nishmas Chayim, so now man becomes a creature who can actually speak, which we would associate certainly with the with intellect and thought. The Ramban, however, the Ramban acknowledges this is the position of Chazal, quotes in Samachem with Bezin, in Sanhedrin, but the Ramban says the pashas of the pasuk is that man began to move. A living creature means he began to move. But we're not speaking about an intellect, right? And Sfano actually makes this very explicit that at this stage man did not have a tzelem elokim. Tzelem elokim would actually be given to man at a later stage, right? Just at one stage, man was ofa min adama. That he was fashioned from an Adama, then there was a stage before Kodesh Baruch Hu breathed into his nostrils. In other words, we see that on the sixth day of creation, man is formed in stages. And so the Tziv acknowledges, and so the Ramban himself acknowledges that there seems to be a dichotomy, discrepancy between the commentary of Chazal and Pshuto Shel Mikra, which is not to say discrepancy, but this is how we understand two ways of understanding the Pasuk. Now, life imitates art, and life imitates Torah in the sense that we're going to see that this is also the literalist versus the non-literalist. Right? As we spoke about previously, the Tziv is actually going to create a third understanding of the Pasuk. The Tziv, and this Pasuk understands that Chaya doesn't necessarily mean alive. Only alive. Living. In fact, the Tziv says that, in fact, actually, right, that if in fact the Torah wanted to tell if the man was living, right, it should have said, according to the what the Rabban calls the Chachmei HaMechkar, according to the scientists, or maybe those who study the Chumash, it should say Fatih Ba'adam L'Nefesh Chaya. In other words, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, breathed into Adam HaRishon, Nishmas Chayim, and it became a living soul within man. That's how the Pasuk should say, if we're just speaking about the man now, is a moving creature. Says in the Tziv, Aval HaInyan, I'm reading from the Hamad Dava, the Shegash Chay B'Loshin HaKadosh V'Hashpach Shul Pam Chay V'Loy Meis, Pam Chay V'Loy Otzav, Etzav, meaning, is that, Chai means that this creation has reached its ultimate stage of existence, of biological existence, you could even say. For an animal, when an animal begins to move and walks around and starts eating by itself, that's the chai of an animal. When a person becomes thinking and acting cognitively, that represents the highest stage of a human being. So when it says Vayia Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, it just means man reaches his most perfected state. So what has the Siv done? The Siv has done is said that Nefesh Chaya can be understood as both biological and both in a certain sense spiritual. Meaning what? Meaning what? That, and this is what it says, that in fact, right, that, and it goes on and says, V'nei behem iniquis nefesh chaya bot shibriya kivitav yisirasa. Masha'enkin, in other words, when an animal is acting like an animal, is moving like an animal, eating like an animal, it's called a nefesh chaya. But an Adam is not called a nefesh chaya, it's not reached, it's his ultimate stage is an Adam. Unless he also has an intellect, right? The Adam Yisrael, certainly a Jewish person, Yisrael, he feels the need to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So all of a sudden, man feels the need to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's called the Nefesh Chai. Now, what is it accomplished? He's taken the term and given it both a biological and both a spiritual understanding. Nefesh Chaya can be applied to an animal and can be applied to a human being. In other words, the spirituality of man is natural. That's the chiddush of the Netziv. Spirituality is not something which is metaphysical, something which has nothing to do with the physical world. Spirituality is natural. Now, with this point, I want to actually connect what the Netziv is saying in this pasuk and what he says in the pasuk, the Adam Ayin Avodas Adama. Namely, what the Nesiv is saying is that the act of tefillah is not an unnatural, metaphysical act only, but is also a natural act. And its natural equivalent is agricultural work. So, saying too, man's intellect and his desire to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu should not be understood to be a figment of Chas v'Sholom, of our imagination, but rather is a natural part of man. Man doesn't have a God gene. Man has a biological need and capacity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Netziv, in a certain sense, is being very, very very naturalistic. Now, those of you who have actually been tuning in to HashkafaCircle.com will have noticed that, in fact, the two important thinkers who emphasize the naturalness of man are none other than Rabbi Yeshabe Soloveitchik and Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook. And there's no coincidence here. Avraham Yitzchak Cohen was a Talmud of the Tziv. He has smicha for the Tziv. The Tziv regarded Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen Cook as to be one of his most important Talmidim. And he admired the Tziv. I think that came out very recently, I think in Yeshurin Journal, that the thing of Shimon Shkaf wanted to get a shtetl. In Rav Kook's yeshiva, Rav Kook says he wants a mag a nosh yeshiva like the Netziv. That in the style of Brisk, the Talmud of Abchayim. Yeshiva Soloveitchik, even though he doesn't mention the Netziv in the Merge of Ethical Man, nonetheless, we know that he's a great great grandson of the Netziv. Rav Soloveitchik is the son of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. His grandfather's of Chaim Soloveitchik. His great grandfather was the Beis Halevi. I'm sorry, Grandma Soloveitchik was married to a granddaughter of the Netziv. I don't know how many great-greats that is. Netziv, Rafael Shapira, Chaim Soloveitchik was married to his granddaughter. Chaim was married to a Shapira. And then from Rav Chaim comes Rabbi Soloveitchik, comes Rabban Shisoil. Zatzal. So in other words, what we have here is, we have interesting that the biological progeny and the Torah progeny of Netziv, what they have in common is that their emphasis in the philosophy of the naturalness of spirituality, or of the spirituality of naturalness. So what we have in the Netziv are really two sides of the same coin. The Adam Ayla, but it's Adama, is the spirituality of the natural act of agriculture. We call it a natural act because man is endowed with capacity for agriculture. And Vayi Adam Nefesh Chaya is the spirituality is the naturalness of spirituality. The man's intellect, his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in fact actually a natural feature of man. So this is a very important philosophical statement that the Tzib is making, that in Sheshish Mei Bereshis, we should not understand that the Torah is just merely presenting to us natural acts, as is the Derech of the Apikorsim, or the Torah is just thinking about metaphysical things, as is the Derech of the Christians. But rather, the Torah is emphasizing to us that man's spirituality is very, very much part and parcel of man's naturalness in the world, which is why, by the way, one of the themes of the Netziv, that letting the Chumash is a little bit like studying science, that man actually, life imitating Torah, meaning is that man actually, the act of letting Chumash is also a way in which man actually is congruent to man's delving understanding of the world around him. Okay, I'm not sure that point is, you know, just a horror. But in any case, I think we'll have to stop over here, because actually, what we have to do the next year is very, very nice. Man is called a Nefesh Chaya. But how come the Torah doesn't speak about intellect? How come is that mentioned anywhere in the Chumash? Men Salam Elokim. I mean, we see Nefesh Chai. No, it mentions let us make men.
Yes.
But how come in here, in this detailed narration, in which, in fact, man goes from Ofam and Adoma, Vibeba Avamish Pasachayim, becomes a Nefesh Chaya, how come we don't see explicitly in the Pasuk, Kodesh Baruch Hu places him the Salam Elokim? So it turns out, we don't see this explicitly in the Pasuk. We see what's called a natural development, which you understand to be a spiritual development. We don't see anywhere Kodesh Baruch Hu Vayasem B'Soichoy Salam Elokim. Something like that. You understand my question?
It says,
let us make man. Let's make man. We don't see.
It says,
Nasa Adam Bitzalma.
Yes.
That's true. Bitzalma Bitzalma. But where do we see in the narration of the Chumash the point explicitly where man gets a Tzalam Elokim? I claim that the Sib is going to answer it in the very next psukim, but that's going to have to wait until the next year, until Shimon
the 5. Is there a discrete point?
That's right. Okay. Right. So Mitzvah, I'm going to speak about that next week, next time in Mitzvah Hashem, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Be well.